So with me, for the next 3 weeks, we'll be seeing what we'll be looking at is for the coming few weeks, the function of the church. Why church? What is God's plan for the church? What is it that God called us to be or to do? So what is it that God wants the church to be or to do? You see, for the church, to be and to do is not a different thing. To be is to do, and to do is to be. To be is to do, and to do is to be. I'm not quoting Shakespeare's words, you know, to be or not to be. It is, you know, the church, to be and to do is the same thing. So to be is to do, and to do is to be. So the church needs to be what God wants her to be, to do what God wants her to do. So if the church is doing what God wants her to do, it is because she has come to be what God wants her to be. So the priority is not to do, the priority is to be for the church. God called us to be first before he asked us to do something for him. So he has a mission, as I said, he has a plan for us, he has a destiny for us, he has a purpose for us, he has a work for us to do. We are called to co-work with him, we are called to go alongside him and to see what he's doing and cooperate with him. But we need to be first before we actually do. So when we when I see the word function, the definition of function, the mathematical definition of function, as you all are very familiar with, it says in mathematics, a function is a relation between a set of inputs and a set of permissible outputs with the property that each input is related to exactly one output. Don't ask me to explain this. If we apply this definition to the function of the church, then what we mean is that the input that makes the church what she is has to be seen in her duties or in her output. So the input determines the output. So the output is a result of the input. So your function is what we have received to become is what comes out or what we demonstrate in our function in the kingdom of God. So what we are, what we become because of our relationship, because of what has been deposited in our life, would be what comes out of us. So, you know, just a normal definition, it is an activity that is natural to or the purpose of a person or a thing. So to be is to do. So, you know, we can see that the priority is not to do. The priority is to be. You know, why am I emphasizing on this is because, you know, when we come to church, we focus on activities. We think that church being a church means or doing something for God is kind of ministry is all about activities, all about services, all about what we do, whatever we do for God. That comes second. To be the church is to actually to be what God wants us to be. So, you know, in Genesis account, you remember how God created Adam and Eve in his image. And then once he created them, he gave them mission. Now you remember what the mission was. The mission was to have dominion over creation and to take care of it. So the mission given to them is directly related to who they are, to the image they have received from the image giver. So they became that image before that responsibility, that mission, or before they have been released to that mission. So their effectiveness in the mission was very much related or directly related to who they are or to their image. So God created them. And then he gave them mission. So the mission is directly related to who they were. So that image is fully visible and alive and influential or functioning to its full potential as long as it dwells in the presence of or in harmony with the image giver. Now, Adam and Eve, God made them in his image. He gave them identity in relation to him. And then he allowed them to live in relationship with him, to enjoy his presence, to dwell in his presence. And then he gave them mission. So that image, the image that they have received, becomes alive and becomes visible or influential as long as they live in that presence, as long as they live in a right relationship with the image giver. That is when their mission, they will be successful in their mission, or what is given to them, the task that is given becomes, they become successful in the task that is given to them. So the moment sin enters in and affects God kicked them out from that presence, that relationship with God, that harmony with him, that image become powerless. So they couldn't fulfill the mission that God has given to them, to have dominion on earth or to take care of the creation. Are you following me? Smile or do something. So it is as long as that image was alive, as long as that image was vibrant, as long as that image was living, that they were able to fulfill the purpose and the purpose that God has for them. It is through that discernment, that that kind of atmosphere, living in his presence, they were fulfilling. So the moment Adam and Eve kicked out from the presence of God, that image giver lost the harmony relationship with him. The power of that image, which enabled them to fulfill their mission, was lost. So because they lost who they were, they couldn't do what they were created to do. So instead of being dominant on earth over creation, creation becomes dominant on them. So to be has a priority over to do. So what is it that the church created or called to be? Why are we called to be? What is it that God called us to be? What is his purpose? I'm not sure how sound it is theologically, but I thought it makes a lot of sense in my Bible reading. I heard someone say, Jesus is God's selfie. When God takes a picture of himself, the picture that came out was Jesus. So Jesus said, or the picture that is accessible to us to know God is what? Jesus, isn't it? Jesus said to his disciples, he said, if you see me, you have seen the Father. Yeah? So he is actually the selfie of the selfie of God. It makes sense. In Hebrew it says it's the express image of his person. So it's a very contemporary language of selfie. It's a selfie of God is who? Jesus. So he is the express image of his person. So Jesus said, if you see me, you have seen the Father. So the church is called to be the selfie of Jesus. Does it make sense? I thought this is really a contemporary way of expressing image. God took a picture. What came out was Jesus. And the picture we have access to when we think about God is Jesus. So if you see Jesus, you have seen the Father. So what Jesus wants to see when he takes a selfie is his body, the church. So Jesus wants the church to be the selfie of him for the world. But when the world see the church, he wants the world to see Jesus. He wants to see the body of Jesus Christ. He wants to see the character, the manifestation of the character of Jesus Christ. Seeing, having an encounter with the church, Jesus wants that, when the world encounters the church, Jesus wants the world to encounter him, to encounter Jesus. So we are called to be the selfie of Jesus. So when Jesus takes a picture of himself, as I said, he wants to see his body. The church is called to be the likeness of Jesus to the world. The world has to see Jesus when it sees the church. So that's why Jesus said first, he said, I am the light of the world. He said, I am the light of the world. And then he turns around to his church and he said, you are the light of the world. You are the salt of the world. You are the light of the world. Not you will give light. I'll give you a torch and you'll put it on and show the world. No, you are the light of the world. So to be is what we are called to. To be that light, to be that salt. It is our identity. It is our call. So the church is called to be the likeness of Jesus. As he is light, we are called to be that light. As he is the salt and the solution to the world's question and problem, we are called to be the salt of the world and the solution to the world problem. So it is, Jesus came to make us to be that. Now, we see a very big gap between us and Jesus. I mean, when is it going to be if I take a picture of myself and then see the picture, the selfie of myself and see Jesus? You know, let's say our mobile camera can actually read and take a picture of my character and my inner thoughts and my dispositions and everything that is within me. Would that be like Jesus? So when we talk about, God called us to be like Jesus, and when we see ourselves and we know in us what is going on in our minds and our life when nobody is around and our weaknesses, and we compare it to Jesus and say, my goodness, when am I going to be like that? The gap is too big. I know you are holy people. You are like Jesus already. I'm sorry. I'm talking about the people who are like me, okay? Hello? I think you should take a selfie of yourself and see yourself, how you look at me. You know, it's like, what are you talking about kind of thing? Is that what you're thinking? No? So, we see the gap between us and Jesus. When God says, I want you to be like my son, Jesus Christ, I want the body, the church, to be like Jesus, we see the gap. It's too big. When am I going to be like that? It is true in one respect. The gap is too big. But at the same time, it is not. You see, the most amazing thing is that you are called to be what you are. God, you are called to be what you are in him. You see, you become, in Christ, you become a new creation. Something new happened in you. There is a new person in you who is created in the image of God. There is that seed in you. There is that nature in you, a new nature in your life. If you are really come to have an encounter, relationship with Jesus Christ, if you are really born again from God, you have that life in you. So God is not asking us to the impossible. No. God is asking us to be what we are in him. To be like him. Why? Because there is already a potential in you. There is already a new creation in you. There is already a new person in you. If I see a baby, the baby might not be a fully functioning human being, it doesn't mean it is not a human, does it? I see a baby and I say, I can see the baby and a fully functioning, matured human being, and I can see the gap. It's too, the gap is big. But it doesn't mean that baby is not human. It doesn't mean it's not impossible, because that baby is going to grow into that fully functioning. So if I say to him, be like, grow to be a human being or a fully functioning human being, I'm not asking him to be impossible. No. So we are born of God, a new creation. We have a new person in us. That's why Paul says, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. He's saying, put on the new person. you know, wake him up. Close yourself with a new person. That is in you. That is created in the image of God. You have that image already in you. So God is asking you to be that which you are already in him. Amen. So that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. So when you take a selfie today, you may see the old nature dominating that picture. You may see your old Adamic nature. When you take a selfie, you may see that Adamic nature dominating, that Adamic character dominating that picture, that thought which is not in line with the word of God dominating the picture, that character that you don't like, that God has shown you through by his word, the character and that behavior that you don't like, but it is in you. It might be dominating the picture. But guess what? That new nature is coming up. That new nature is being nurtured. That new nature is being, as the more you are exposed to the word of God, the more you are exposed to in line with him in that relationship, that new nature is being fed. And one day you see the selfie and you see Jesus Christ in your life, the character of Jesus Christ, the mind of Christ. You know, that godly character will be manifesting through that selfie, that picture. So the question now is, what would the church do to be what God called her to be, the selfie of Jesus? We agreed that, you know, we are called to be the selfie of Jesus, yeah? It took me a while to really digest it, so I know it will take a while for you to digest the selfie idea. So we say that for the church to be is to do. So the church transforms to become the selfie of Jesus through her progressive, continuous, consistent relationship with Christ. You see, the new nature is in us, and we are called to be in the likeness of Jesus. Jesus is here, and this the new nature which is created in his image is in us. Now, to progress and to become like him, we need to live in relationship, a continuous, harmonious, and consistent relationship with him. And it is in that kind of atmosphere, in that kind of communion with him, that the new nature will be nurtured and will grow to be like him. So the church needs to be in that kind. Relationship creates a space for us to know him. You see, when you are having communion with him, not just only on Sunday or on Saturday or on weekends, when you have that communion constantly with him in harmony, remembering him, meditating upon him, focusing on him, and loving him and worshiping him, then that relationship creates a space for you to know him. Knowing him means being transformed. The more you know him, the more you become like him. You see, when you know God, you will be like God. That encounter with him will bring change in your life. You know, you become saved because you heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. And in that gospel, you have seen Jesus. You have seen his love, his mercy, his forgiveness. So as you remain in him, as you develop in that communion relationship with him, you begin to know, that relationship creates a space for you to know him. As you know him, you will become like him. You will be transformed. You see, to know him is to be transformed. And you know, John said to express our, you know, the what we would be like. The end time, how the full-fledged transformation at the end comes about. He said, beloved, he says in 1 John chapter 3, he says, beloved, now are we the sons of God. We are the sons of God. We are the children of God. We are the sons and daughters of God. As present, it is not clear what we are to be. We are certain that at his revelation, we will be like him. Why? For we will see him as he is. What is he saying? When we see Jesus, that encounter, that revelation, that beholding of Christ will bring full transformation, and then we will come like him. So that's what perfect Christ likeness will manifest that day when we see Jesus. So in between now and then, there is a continuous transformation. There is a continuous knowing of him. How? When we dwell with him, when we have that encounter and relationship. So the church is called to relate with him, to live in that kind of environment, to live in relation with him, to live in communion with him, to have an harmony, to create a space for that knowledge and encounter to come. So as we encounter with him as a body together and individually as believers, as we commune with him, it will create a space and encounter happens. We'll get to know him and then we'll be transformed. Our life becomes transformed. So when we take selfie, we don't see that old nature dominating that picture. Jesus Christ becomes the full-fledged, Jesus Christ, that new nature will be dominating the picture. Amen. That is what's going to happen. Therefore, healthy harmony, continuous and consistent relationship with Christ is the place where who she is at the church, or she becomes what she's called to be and do what she's called to do. So as a church, that is the relationship. That is like a fish lives and functions and prospers in water. We live and function and live to the full of our potential when we live in the presence of Jesus Christ, when we live in that kind of harmonious relationship with him. So you cannot do, God is not, he didn't just give us, a command to do something for him. That's not what God called us to. He called us to be. And as we are, as we become, we will do. So like Adam and Eve, when the church fails to live in harmony, in relationship with Christ, and fails to carry his image and becomes something other than what God intended her to be. Now the problem is, we consider the church's duty, activity, and ministry to be first, as I said before. We think that it's all about being church is like, doing something. Doing, maybe it could be sharing the gospel, it could be leading worship, it could be in prayer, it could be anything. Like the activities could dominate our focus, our mindset. Then that needs to change. We are called to be. So the question is, am I what God wants me to be? Do I look like him? Is the new nature dominating in my life? And am I living in that relationship? Am I creating a space in my life? Are we creating as a body of Jesus Christ together at the church a space for that encounter to happen? To know him more and more? That needs to be the case. So I just wanted to share with you for the next 5-10 minutes about three kinds of when activity dominates our perspective, and when relationship becomes when we live in that relationship. These three kinds of people. In Mark 14, it says that it was now 2 days before the feast of the Passover and the unleavened bread, and the chief priests and the scribes sought how they might seize him by deception and kill him. For they said, not during the feast, because there might be a riot of the people. While he was at Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at the table, a woman came having an alabaster jar of ointment of pure and nard, very costly. She broke the jar and poured it over his head. But there were some who were indignant among themselves and saying, why has this ointment been wasted? For this might have been sold for more than 300 denarii. 300 denarii was about a year's wage for an agriculture laborer and given to the poor. They grumbled against her. But Jesus said, leave her alone. Why do you trouble her? She has done a good work for me. For you always have the poor with you. And whenever you want to, you can do them good. But you will not always have me. She has done what she could. She has anointed my body beforehand for the burying. Most assuredly, I tell you, wherever this gospel may be preached throughout the whole world, that which this woman has done will also be spoken of for a memorial of her. Judas Iscariot, who was one of the 12, went away for the chief priests that he might deliver him to them. They, when they heard it, were glad and promised to give him money. He sought how he might conveniently deliver him. There were three kinds of people. One was the priests and the scribes. And then the other one was the lady who were worshiping Jesus, who broke that perfume, and most probably Mary. And the third one was Judas. Now, if you see them, these three groups of people have had the same access to God, the same access. The scribes, the priests were given a responsibility and a chance to know him, to serve him, to represent him before the people before God, and to represent God before people. They were given duty. They had access to God to live in that, to get to know him, to have that relationship. Judas, as you know, the same as the 12 disciples, he was called loud by Jesus. He had the same access to know him, to have that relationship with him, to develop that relationship with him, to love him, and to go to get to know him. And Mary is the same. Now, if you see those scribes and priests, they were duty focused. They were not became what they were. He wanted them to be. They were not in loving relationship with God. They were because of that. They were not sensitive spiritually. Even if the God whom they think serving comes in the midst of them, they couldn't recognize him because they were not in relationship with him. They were doing something for him. They were in that kind of responsibility, executing stuff, being active in the church, but they were not in relationship with him. They were not spiritually connected with him. They were not living in communion with him. They were actively doing something. So when that happens, when you're not in that kind of relationship, the dominant aspect will be your own ego, your own desire, your own, that old nature. So they were plotting to kill him because he was exposing their heart and what they were doing, the wrong things that they were doing. So they failed the opportunity that God has given them. And it is a possibility for that to happen. We're in the church without developing, cultivating that relationship with him, that communion with him, when we are engaged in activities and considering that as an activity to be sufficient, when we don't have a personal relationship with God, when we don't focus on him, when our attention is not in that kind of loving relationship with him, then what is dominant in our relationship, in our activities in the church, is our own ego, our own desire. And so we will do things that is really contrary to the character of Christ. We will damage people. We'll say things that we shouldn't say. So the second person was Judas. Judas had access with Jesus. Jesus loved him. He never changed his face, because if he changed his face, the disciples would have known. He never changed. He knew what he was doing. He was stealing money. Jesus knew, and he let him have the money. He became, what do you call him? He was holding the money. He was the treasurer. Jesus knew what was happening, and he gave him the responsibility. I believe in you. You can change. You can change. You know, here's the money. You know, and then that little love of God that was in his heart, he allowed it to grow, and to deter him from having that relationship with Jesus. You know, those little things in our hearts, in our minds that we play with. You know? And gradually, after some time, they will grow and blinds us from seeing the beauty of Jesus and the treasure of Jesus Christ. So he was completely, you know, Jesus was for him nothing. So he was willing to sell him with 30 rubies. He was willing to do that. Why? Because Jesus meant nothing to him. His Christianity meant nothing to him. He had been going to church for a long time. He had been doing a lot of stuff in the church. He heard a lot of things, the word of God, but there was something else in his heart that was dominant. He didn't allow, he didn't expose his heart to Jesus, and he didn't allow him to take that out and make him, help him to relate with him or to help him to see who he was. But this lady, Mary, she was in love with Jesus. For her, you know, she to be is to do. So she was just worshiping Jesus. She was loving him. She was completely consumed. She knew what the price of Jesus, how Jesus, there is nothing in the world that compares to him for her. So she bought a very expensive perfume. She came and she didn't even have the patience to open it properly. She just broke it. And she just poured out that perfume on him. She was just worshiping him. She didn't know what she was doing. She was loving him. She was just giving him, you know, she was just pouring out her heart. But as she was in that kind of relationship, as she became what he called her to be, she was doing something very, very significant. She was doing the will of God. See, as we do love him, as we have in that kind of relationship, we don't even know what we are doing. You know, what every little things we do will have eternal significance. So the people say, hey, why is she wasting? She's wasting it. That's very expensive perfume. You know, that money could have been, given to those poor people, homeless people. You know, what kind of lady? I mean, go and advise this lady. She shouldn't do this kind of stuff. Jesus said, stop. You have no idea what she's doing. She's preparing me for burial. I mean, I hope she would be, she was shocked. She didn't know that. She was loving him. She was just pouring out her heart. She was living in that kind of relationship. She didn't know what she was doing had eternal significance, spiritual significance. She was just pouring out. That's what our ministry should be. It is an overflow of our love for him. It is an overflow of our relationship with him. It is our overflow of, you know, that is what the church, God wants the church to be. You know, being totally immersed, totally taken, totally appreciate the value of Jesus Christ, who have given himself for us. Shall we all pray? Let's just bow our heads and pray. You know, God loves us so much. You know, he gave his son, Jesus Christ, for you, for me, for us. He called us as church, you know, to become like him. You know, he created us and there is a new person in us. That potential is in you to be like Jesus Christ. So you are called to be first. You know, if you become what you are called to be, you fulfill your duty. You are called to be like him. You are called to be, not to do, not to engage in activities, no. To be like him. I'm not saying abandon what you're doing and stop what you're doing. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is let your focus and priority be to become what God wants you to be. You are called to be the selfie of Jesus. You know, transformation happens in consistent Monday to Sunday, 24/7 relationship and communion with him. He's waiting for you. You know, he loves you. The Holy Spirit is there, steering your heart, you know, calling you to that relationship, to that communion. The purpose, you know, the priests and the scribes and Judas, they didn't get there overnight. They didn't get there overnight. When they were called, they were excited. There was an excitement. There was even could be some kind of affection for God, but they allowed other stuff to take over their heart. You know, their relationship, you know, they those things dominated their heart and prevent them from developing that relationship with him by allowing something else to take his place in their heart. So being like Mary is possible. Let's ask the Holy Spirit to renew our love for our Savior so that we may fall in love with him again. Let's ask the Holy Spirit. Let's ask him.